So we enjoyed talking to Tim Kirkchin. We are happy to have him back, even though it's a weirdly mutated season. The Shipping Container is excited about Marlins baseball. Good God, I know you used to love and cover the Orioles, Tim, but the Orioles have been a godforsaken haunted franchise for two decades, and to lose, to get swept by the Marlins when they've got 18, four games, when they've got 18 bodies in uniforms, like where and how can you put that one in perspective for us?
Well, the Orioles haven't been haunted for that long. They made the playoffs a couple times with Buck Showalter as the manager. However, recent few years have been really, really bad, and they're pretty the Marlins to play the Orioles like that and then win like that, it was pretty remarkable. For the Marlins to be 6-1 is just amazing. And they pitched exceptionally well, and then they scored 8 runs last night. And half the people don't even know who's on their team. The turnover's been like nothing I've ever seen. So they certainly got a lot of help from the Orioles, who did not play well in that series. But give the Marlins a little bit of credit here.
Do you worry at all, Tim, about – I know you don't love these mutations. You like your game the way that it is. But do you worry, or does – I don't even know how to ask the question correctly. The idea that baseball is going to get this money no matter what, even if they have to compromise the integrity of the results by fielding a team that's not a major league team because it has 18 players, and if they lost another 18 players, they'd put a new 18 players in there.
Yeah, Dan, I'm worried about a lot of things, and I'm worried that – you know, owners are going to say, no matter what players we put on the field, we're gonna make money, and that's all that matters. I'm afraid we're going to play 7-inning doubleheaders for the rest of the time. I'm afraid we're going to play 7-inning games before long. I'm afraid we're going to keep a guy at second base to start the 10th inning next year also. And again, I'm just an old guy, but I grew up in a different way. And I'm sorry, this is not softball. This is not American Legion ball. This is the big league. And even though I'm all for everything that's going on right now,
all right, Tim, hold on a second. Let's get your phone line. Let's get your phone line fixed here, Tim, because you're going in and out, and I want to be able to hear what it is that you're saying. So we're going to try and get your phone line fixed. But Sedano, like, that part makes me uncomfortable. Like, usually the money in sports isn't laid quite this bare naked in front of us in terms of the grabbing at the dollars and business, where you're not only risking the health of all these people, but you don't actually care what's in a major league uniform. If a team loses 25 guys, they'll replace it with 25 more guys, and you're distorting all the results. Yes, Billy?
That's a ridiculous argument, though, because you're saying they're not major league players. They're undefeated against major league teams. They're people who were free agents, but they're major league caliber players. They're prospects that would be called up to the major league. Sure, they weren't on a roster, but they traded for some people who had been designated. They called up some people early. They will be major leaguers. It's not like they got bag boys or something off the street and just put them in uniforms.
I mean, to Billy's point, though, it feels like the Marlins haven't fielded a major league team in many, many years anyway. So how different is this from any other year?
My point isn't about the Marlins. My point is that if any team loses 18 guys, they'll replace them with 18 more.
Sure.
And
no,
if the Marlins lose 150 players, they'll replace them with 150 more because they want to get to the finish line of the money. Right, Tim?
Yes. Now, there's some truth to that, Dan. That, you know, the owners are really concerned about October because that's where all the money makes. And yes, sometimes I worry that these interchangeable parts, you don't even have to field a real major league team and you can still make money. So there are a bunch of things that I'm confused and concerned about this year. And I just hope everyone maybe learns that this is not the best way to go through this. 7-inning doubleheaders and things like that. But my fear is everyone's going to say, this is great. It all worked. Let's put it in permanently.
What are you laughing about, Billy? You want all the changes? What are you laughing about? You're going to desecrate Tim Kirkchin's beloved game?
No, I love Tim Kirkchin and I love baseball, but Tim, man, 7-inning doubleheader went so quick. We watched 2 games in what felt like 5 hours. The games were like 2 hours. It was incredible. Imagine how many baseball games, Tim, we could watch a day if they shrunk it down to 4 innings. We could watch like quadruple headers. More baseball, but less baseball.
Well, Billy, I think you're in the majority of people who think a seven-inning doubleheader is the way to go, not just this year. I repeat, it's okay for this year, but I'm not in favor of it moving forward, and I think I'm in the minority on this. And that's part of the problem, is that baseball sees these changes. Some of them are going to work for a year, and they're going to put them in permanently, and I'm not sure that's the right way to go.
Tim, you're one of the nicest people we have here at ESPN, one of the nicest people we know in general. I just want to know if you're okay, simply because I heard this sound the other day of you really excoriating Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, and I've never heard this tone from you. Roy, play the sound for Tim so he can hear himself.
I know several players that I talked to were at best confused by what the commissioner said, because clearly the players are ones in peril right now, not to mention everyone who's at the ballpark every day. It's not just the players. We understand that. But it became more about the commissioner. I'm not a quitter. I mean, I'm not sure exactly where that came from and what he was trying to say. I know he was trying to say, we're going to try to bring this game through, which is great, but this can't be about him. It has to be the players and the people on the front line, the people who are actually risking things by going out and playing. So I think it should have been more about the game and less about himself, and that's what confused me a little bit also.
Good God, Tim, I've never heard you worked up in such a lather.
Jesus.
Are you okay?
What the hell was that all about, Kirkchen?
That was not that bad. Buster Olney on the podcast, which I do every week, he asked me a question. What did you think about what the commissioner said? All I did was answer the question. I was confused why he would insert himself into this equation when this is about all sorts of other things, the game and the players, much more than him. That's all I said. And if that qualifies as excoriating or angry, boy, that may be a large overstatement.
Wow, there. Way to defend yourself against a rage-fueled diatribe with another rage-fueled diatribe.
I know.
Honest to God, Kirkchen, like really, that's your defense? You couldn't possibly sound any more hostile or any more defensive than you do right now.
I'm sorry.
Does Rob Manfred look like a limo driver? Does Terry Stotts look like the guy who was at the grocery store just to get away from his wife who was constantly yelling at him? Does Frank Vogel look... Oh, a snort, a delightful snort. Does Frank Vogel look like Jerry Seinfeld's brother, Terry Seinfeld, who works at a car dealership?
So good.
Does Mike Gundy look like the henchman from the movie Roadhouse who's ultimately dispatched when Patrick Swayze hits him in the groin with a pool cue? Does your nemesis, Jeff Passan, look like a sommelier who insists that you order a Sauvignon, but then scoffs in disgust when you order the Merlot like a peasant?
He's a maitre d' at a stuffy restaurant, isn't he?
Does Kevin Gilbride look like the tourist on the beach who no one bothers to wake up despite his increasingly severe sunburn?
God.
Does Bill Laimbeer look like the downtrodden mall Santa who finally breaks and tells the gleeful child on his lap, look, kid, no one ever actually gets what they want in life? Tim, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
That anger under control.
Yeah, please. All that emotional hostility.
This show ain't free. Time for some ads.
I don't think that we have a whole lot better on this show than his laugh. Honest to God, I really don't. No.
By the way, those suggestions were the best I've heard in a really long time.
Really?
Oh my God.
I feel that way every single week on these. Every single week the audience does these so strong. You can write them at Lebatard Show on Twitter. Advance Auto Parts, keep your car up to date by perusing the aisles at Advance Auto Parts. I do want to talk to Sedano about some of the stuff going on in basketball. We'll get to what CJ McCollum is doing with his room temperature in a second, because that one's funny.
Hey, buddy. Oh. Sorry, Dan Flynn. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Dano.
You alleged last week that your Stugatz was very limited, but that fake Stugatz right there is getting a whole lot of applause. Jorge Sedano in with us, grateful for his presence. Amino Hassan will be here in a little while to talk some basketball with us. But what from the bubble, because I haven't talked any basketball with you, George, and I do value your insight on that sport. So what have you seen from the bubble that you have found interesting or worth talking about?
How crazy the Lakers have been in regards to how bad they've been in comparison to how good they were from basically, you know, October through March when we stopped. Dan, the Lakers had the best field goal percentage as a team in the entire sport. And since the restart, they've had the worst. And it's not even close. They've also had the worst points per game in general and per 100 possessions. I'll give you an example. The Lakers' points per 100 possessions is 96.6, okay? To put that into context, the Warriors were ranked dead last in the NBA this season in offensive efficiency prior to the shutdown. They averaged 104.4 points per 100 possessions, and they were throwing out just a bunch of dudes out there all season. And really, a lot of it is because of LeBron, which is the strange part. LeBron is shooting 48.9% on two-point shots, which is not good, 23% on three-pointers, 68% on free throws. His true shooting percentage, which is incredible to say this, is under 50%. And this is the most astonishing stat about the Lakers, and particularly LeBron, minus 32 in 134 minutes so far during the restart. It's crazy.
Would you not assume that part of that is just that over the last decade, no one in the history of the sport gets more mileage on their body and the reps and everything else of a full season without a break, without, never mind months of not doing anything, just without a break for minutes or anything else? Usually LeBron James, the season would have been over right about now, but LeBron James gets run into the ground. Wouldn't you just chalk that up to he's taking 8 games to get right?
Sort of, Dan. But what I would say is this, is that in March, before the season ended abruptly, he was starting to hit his LeBron stride. There is not a second that he wastes as he ramps up during the season to get his body to optimal conditions for when the playoffs are hitting. And obviously we remember they had beaten the Clippers and the Bucks pretty easily in that last weekend in March. And I think the restart has hurt him. Now, he kind of alluded to this, you know, a few months ago, that he was asked, did he think the time off would help him? And he actually said at the time, he's like, I don't know. I don't think so, because I ramped my body up a certain way. And I think that now this whole thing has been truncated and his ramp up will have been truncated. And I think that's why the Lakers kind of sat him yesterday, because they're like, we need to kind of figure out what's best for his body so he is as close to optimal when we start these playoffs here in a couple of days.
I'm not sure that people understand, because so often with athletics, people think that someone got to where they are because a holy man reached into their crib when they were young and gave them a specific talent. But as it regards LeBron James, the team of people that he has around him working on the science of his body is a fairly amazing thing to watch. The lengths and the thoroughness to get that guy to be at the top of the food chain when it comes to the science of what you can do with your body in sports. It's a tribute to him that in March, at his age, that he's playing an MVP quality of basketball at 35 years old. I mean, what? Amin El-Hassan has popped into the chat. He is again hobo chic. He has just woken up and he wants to get into a LeBron discussion. You heard some of what Sedano had to say there. Do you have a good theory for us on what is happening with LeBron and the Lakers?
One of the biggest problems of sports fans is they think that everything they see on TV was just rolling the ball out, and they just went out there and played, and why isn't he playing well? And there is never a thought process that there's a science to what's happening or a procedure to what's happening. Dan, you see Dennis Schroeder and Gordon Hayward both are going to miss time in the bubble because they have their significant other is giving birth to a child. You have Alex Caruso, who was skipped out on a wedding that was supposed to happen. You wonder, why are all these things happening? Because NBA players and NBA personnel, we adjust our lives towards the NBA season. If you're going to have a wedding, you want me to be there, it better be in the summer. If we're going to have a baby, it better be in the summer. Why? Because I don't want to miss games. I don't want to miss time for this. So in a similar way, LeBron's body and the way he ramps up, like George was talking about, it's all based on a calendar that for 75 plus years has always been the same way. The season starts in October and it ends in June at some point. And what we're now asking LeBron to do is to adjust whatever process he was going through. And by the way, throw in a 4-month layoff in there. So yeah, it's not surprising to me that LeBron doesn't look quite like he's supposed to right now.
So this is a disaster potentially for the Lakers if he can't get his body right. Now, look, I'll still bet on him all day, every day, until he can't do it, right? Until the wheels fall off, I'm going to bet on him to win that race. But it is certainly alarming when you watch them, because even yesterday with Anthony Davis on the floor, they are not a good team, okay?
Well, the thing with Anthony Davis, like, to see what he did to Gobert the other day, Gobert is an exceptional defensive player. Like, Anthony Davis is extraordinary. Those numbers you just gave us, it's a small sample, but they're pretty damning. I mean, what do you do with what George was saying, that the Lakers in the bubble, their offensive efficiency is like 10 points worse than the Warriors, who weren't any good?
Well, it's not only that. It goes to LeBron. Someone said the other day, when Anthony Davis plays well, the Lakers play well. BS. It's LeBron. LeBron's a bellwether. Because when you look at the on-off numbers, when LeBron is on the floor and Anthony Davis on the floor, they're amazing. When LeBron's on the floor and Anthony Davis isn't on the floor, they're still really, really good. When LeBron is off the floor and Anthony Davis is on the floor,
they're the Pelicans a couple of years ago.
They're the Pelicans. They are not a playoff team, right? And that's one of the reasons why on my MVP ballot, I didn't have Anthony Davis on it. I know he leads that team in scoring. I know he's a tremendous talent. But to me, he is not the driver for success for the Lakers. He helps, absolutely. He's probably the best number two LeBron has had outside of Dwayne Wade. But in terms of the driver for success, which I feel that's what the MVP is, he's not there for me. He's basically the same as what he was in New Orleans. And so, yeah, the Lakers season is going to go as LeBron goes.
Sounds like he's not an MVP in your personal record book there, Amin. How about that?
A very concerned Chris Cody came in today during a global pandemic where everything has been turned upside down and asked the question that I know is at the top of everyone's mind during this horrible time. Is Halloween happening? Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is Halloween happening? It is an important question. I hadn't given it any thought. Everyone in the Zoom chat is vigorously shaking their heads, no, there will be no Halloween. Halloween has been canceled. Can I find anyone in our Zoom chat willing to make the argument that Halloween won't be canceled? Okay, a bunch of shaking heads, no. That's fine. We'll keep it moving from there.
I mean, look, Dan, think about the practice of Halloween. I get it for kids. It's great. It's this, that, you know, like they love it. They get to dress up. They get to run around and get candy. As an adult, like, what is the advantage to Halloween other than looking like wanting to dress like a buffoon for a day? Like, I just am not into Halloween. Like, give me something where I can eat and celebrate. Like, Thanksgiving is a great holiday. You know, Christmas is a great holiday. Give me those holidays. Like, as an adult, Halloween kind of stinks.
I don't think there's any aspect of Halloween that would work with what's going on right now. You have a bunch of crowds of people walking together. That can't work. You go to a stranger's house. You stick your hand in a bucket that a bunch of other strangers have touched. You're taking candy from strangers, which I was taught to never do except one day it was okay, but the rest of the time don't do it. There's nothing about Halloween right now, especially like I'm assuming Chris is looking at this through the prism of like a father and his daughter, not Chris wants to go out dressed up as something.
Don't assume.
But if Chris wants to go out and dress up as something, feel free, just wear a mask that covers your face, not like, you know, like a Zorro mask or something. That's not going to be sufficient for Halloween, Chris. But in terms of your daughter, just tell her Halloween's not happening this year.
See, I was one of the head shaking no people in the Zoom chat, but then I thought about it. What is the biggest problem facing our country right now? Is that no one wants to wear a mask. Well, how about the holiday where everybody wears masks? It's perfect. This is how you fool them all. You say, guys, let's go back and bring Halloween back.
Every day. Every day is Halloween.
Every day is Halloween. Yes.
How about that, Dano? Heady play.
That is a great idea. Let's trick people into wearing that. You figured out the way, Amin, to save America. What an amazing idea. We have been behind in every way when it comes to this pandemic. Just trick the stupid people while offering them candy. Here, stupid people. Here. Here's a Butterfinger. Here, stupid people. Wear a mask. Wear a mask, stupid people. Don't go to school in Georgia, stupid people. Wear a mask and get candy. We'll give you a treat, a delicious sugary treat if you do the right scientific thing and quit killing us.
Everything that you sell to America has to be packaged. It has to be sold to America. You can't just tell people to do stuff. You got to sell it to them. Halloween is fun and there's candy and everyone loves it. Why not have it every day?
A brilliant idea. You should be like, you should replace Fauci. I'm not kidding. That's such a good idea that you have. You could absolutely flatten the curve with this inspiring idea.
I found this great doctor. His name is Amin El-Hassan. He's got this great idea.
Is that a fake Fauci?
That's a fake Fauci, yeah.
Look, okay, I'm okay. We need to make sure we either need to cancel Halloween or it needs to be what Halloween is. The one thing we can't have happen is where Halloween turns into everybody handing out mini sanitizer bottles. That's the one thing we can all agree can't happen, right? It either needs to be regular Halloween or we scrap the whole thing. We're not doing this like sanitizer handouts.
Leave it to Chris to not want to remove the food part of this equation. I mean, for the love of God.
That's what I'm saying.
I also think, you could just also just give out masks as instead. Do that. It's got to be masks and candy. No,
if we're giving out masks, just scrap the whole thing.
Okay, very good, Chris. I appreciate your insights on this matter. Thank you. I wanted to get into a couple of different things here with you guys, Amin El-Hassan and Jorge Sinano, in with us. But, Tony, you said, and I don't know whether Sedano and Amin are following this, you said that the Rick Ross 2 Chainz versus was the best one yet, that there hasn't been a better one than the one that happened last night.
Dan, I will. And Amin's shaking his head no, and we can argue about that in a second. But there was no better visual than seeing Rick Ross without a shirt being massaged and oiled by an essential worker wearing a mask while Devil in a New Dress was playing. I think that was peak versus of the entire quarantine.
Amin? Do you have any opinion? No, you're just going to shake your head? You know we're on the radio, right?
Yeah. I know.
It requires speech, right? Like, okay. All right, very good. That's Amin El-Hassan's thoughts on the matter. Our thanks to Amin El-Hassan for vigorously defending his viewpoint against Tony. That's a winning argument for you, Amin. You've never sounded smarter. How do you go from having the single best idea anyone has ever had during the pandemic, which is let's trick people with candy for masks, to that? How does that happen?
I'll tell you, Dano, the old switcheroo.
It's all about the Benjamins, baby.
Sinano, are you snorting with laughter at your own Stugatz impersonation? ZipRecruiter. If you own a business, if you're in need of employees, look no further than ZipRecruiter. Tony, you were just as confused as I was why Amin chose that moment to stop doing radio of any kind and just staring at us, right?
Well, Dan, I thought I just got him with such a good take that he had no response. It was no rebuttal to that.
Tell the people about ZipRecruiter, Sedano.
I'll tell them that, Dano, but also I've got texts with Sedano that Sedano's going to read soon, too. Let's not forget about those, all right?